For staff and project proponents, should this move on? And after talking to the chief, when he was here, or the assistant chief, on the staff report 2 of 3 where we are discussing the conditions of approval, condition of approval number 10. One of the questions I asked the assistant chief was on the inspection annually, either by Cal Fire, Fire Marshal, Scott Valley Rural Fire Protection Chief, County, whomever it is. I don't know the feeling of the rest of the commission, but personally, I think it should be an annual inspection period, and not something that might be done every 2 or 3 years, should this go forward.
I agree.
And so...
because that lessens the risk to everybody.
Correct. And so we have this condition number 10 here. It needs to be reflected in the mitigation measures, language used in the tables, given either or, and the or needs to be removed to reflect that there will be annual inspection. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when it comes to the motion, we don't need to do an amendment because condition 10 already says that. I just want to make sure that that is reflected in the mitigation measure table as well.
Okay, and in the sequel findings of exhibit C,
yes,
ones, which is perhaps the most important for the commission. I understand that will be deleted out of the last portion of mitigation measure 8.1, or as the county and Cal Fire determines necessary, that will no longer be there.
Correct. It'll be point blank annual inspection. Mm-hmm. Access, ingress, egress, emergency road, plus facility inspection. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next one. So this question, page 1 of 7 in the report, under the general plan consistency findings, under policy 41.3, page 1 of 7, specifically policy 41.6, the statement is the proposed project will meet any requirements of the Siskiyou County Health Department, North Coast, related to sewage disposal and groundwater contamination. I get that with the studies and assessments done, that our experts are comfortable that septic on all except for potentially one area will suffice. The one area which potentially, and I'm jumping over here to the on-site water feasibility study that was done back in January 2018, is that the most recent discussion of data collected? Because that's what I was looking at for the one location. I believe it was, let's see here, scrolling down.
Mess hall.
Yes, for the mess hall. That assessment is still accurate, that the mess hall could potentially, due to the volume of potential discharge, require some other type of sewer receptacle.
Chris Cummings, a civil engineer, 3399 Dodson Lane, Anderson. And as far as the disposal of the wastewater for the dining hall, the issue is the characteristics of the wastewater, which is fog, which is oil, grease, fat oil, grease, so that can foul a standard septic system. So it would the typical design, and it would be designed at the time with the most up-to-date technology, but right now it's been identified that an Orenco or an Advantex are the most commonly designed systems that can be utilized for that. But there are a number of alternatives that can happen in that case. So as an example, a well-designed grease trap that would prohibit it from going into the standard tank to start with is a possibility. But would it, you know, the maintenance of that can be an issue. Is that attractive or feasible? It's feasible, but dealing with that, would it rather be better to digest it and so forth? So that's what the Advantech or the Orenco does. So, and they're commonly used for restaurants, etc. But that's what I noted in the wastewater feasibility study, was that the characteristics of the wastewater for the dining hall wouldn't lend itself to just a standard system. With leach lines.
So with that answer and this question's to staff, the county will or will not be doing regular inspections to ensure that wastewater is being handled properly and that the existing infrastructure is able to handle the load without negative environmental impact?
Rick King, Community Development Director. Chairman, Commissioner Fowle, we will be involved annually doing an organized camp inspection, which takes a look at the entire facility, at which time we would be able to identify if there's any surfacing sewage on the ground of that sort. But predominantly, you know, Kitty Creek Orchard Camp has a responsibility to notify us if there are issues with that, so they can be dealt with.
Is the mess hall existing, or are we talking about another mess hall?
A new
mess hall.
This one's new.
Okay, when that permit is issued to build that, which they're going to have to get, then this sewer system can be addressed and the inspection there too, yes?
Correct, yes. And currently that permit would be issued by the State Water Board.
But it'd have to go through the county first too, right? I mean, for the building of the mess hall.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, and then the wastewater treatment part would be part of the permit and would have to meet the requirements of all the proper entities.
Correct, they would go hand in hand.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, I scrolling through here, page 2 of 18 on the staff report, exhibit A3, that's where the typo is, where it occurs, up at the top of the page, third line down, increase the occupancy to 944 guests. That needs to be changed to 8.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We covered that one. So, I guess I'll dip in to the next topic. I'm on 17 of 18, still in the staff report, 5D, alternative project number 3, where number 1 towards the end where it has the discussion on the EIR estimating, this is, to be clear, under alternative project number 3. But the discussion is estimating 729 new trips on a Saturday as opposed to 1,110 trips under the proposed project. So our traffic person is, Lauren.
Lauren Chilson.
So, Lauren, this is your warning. This question is coming to you. Understanding that typically, at least according to this plan, the proposed plan, Saturday is typically the day of the end of the week's camp, ends on a Saturday, so it's out migration of traffic. Am I correct in that?
At the time of the study, it was Saturday morning, and right now it's on Friday evening. So,
okay, yes. So Friday.
So the peak day at that time was Saturday, now it would be Friday.
Okay, yes. So we're looking at a peak day,
yes,
of campers exiting,
yes,
to head back to home, and is Monday.
Sunday, what Sunday
day?
Sunday afternoon is the incoming day.
Sunday is incoming. Yes. Okay, so we're all on the same page. Sunday ingress, Friday egress.
Yes.
I'm trying to envision in the course of 8 to 10 hours when we say whether it's 729 trips or 1,110 trips, is that to and from the camp? In other words, is this 505 vehicles potentially entering and exiting? Or is this 1,110 vehicles going one way and not mentioning that there are 1,110 vehicles headed back out from whence they came?
Lauren Chilson with Headway Transportation, if I may. These are one directional trips, meaning it's the equivalent of 500 and some vehicles, which are making a two-way trip or, you know, some combination thereof. But these are one single directional trips. 1,400 is all trips.
Okay. So.
And just for one additional point of clarification, the study is based on the 844 number of persons, so that very high range. So we've been conservative. We've covered the highest in number of persons and the highest day, so the absolute peak conditions.
Okay. In the analysis that you did for traffic, and I've got to find the proper file here, but I think I remember the question that I asked and that I had for you. The breakout, if you set aside Sunday and set aside Friday, so we're looking at Monday through Thursday, what did your study under the maximum 800 number, what was your daily increase in traffic Monday through Thursday, non-peak times? What was the increase average daily?
Again, Lauren Chilson, I understand the question. I don't know that we identified the off-peak day trip generation. What I will characterize it is it's tremendously lower since we are looking at the peak condition where we're turning over the camp, if you will, right? Almost all campers outbound, all campers inbound. That's by far the highest volume scenario I don't think we attempted to quantify, you know, Monday through Thursday, as those are significantly lower.
In your collection of data, did you run a real-time trip counter for what the baseline is?
Yes, we did. We ran that, I believe, my recollection is Friday through Sunday, so we captured the entire weekend period. We found the highest hour out of that entire weekend and used that as the baseline condition.
And enlighten me, remind us, what was that baseline number?
About 330, I'm sorry, at the east end of South Credit Creek Road where it meets Highway 3, 414 vehicles over an entire day, or about 67. Actually, that's not vehicles, that's movements, one-directional trips, and 67 one-directional trips in the highest hour existing.
And you said that was over a 3-day?
That would be correct. That's my recollection. We counted Friday through Sunday.
And that was done this year, 2018, 19, 20. What year was that done?
We've been 2015. Bear with me 1 minute. We counted July 24th, 2015, that was a Friday, through Sunday, July 26th, 2015.
Ah, there, finally found it. Okay, good. All right. Since this is your, and Lauren, I'm still talking to you, or directing to you. This is your area of expertise. What is the trigger for Caltrans that might lead to improvements for the ingress, egress, turning off of Highway 3 in South Kidder? At what level would there be a trigger to add a turn lane?
Turn lane to on which leg, on the highway or on,
yeah,
the
so
South
it,
Kidder
it,
Creek approach?
At some point, there's going to be a trigger based on traffic that would cause Caltrans basically to put in a right turn lane for southbound traffic on Highway 3.
Yeah, I understand.
Very little from the north.
I do not have that in front of me. I will say that in general terms, it's based on, well, not in general terms, but in it's based on the number of vehicles turning right versus the number of vehicles going through, which is a proxy for understanding the conflict of a right turn movement, right? And how vehicles might be delayed or impacted by vehicles slowing. The through volume, southbound through volume on Highway 3 is so low in reality that I'm not sure the volume that turning right would have to be significantly higher to get to a point where that would actually be triggered. So I don't believe we're anywhere near that because the through volume is so low.
Okay. Is there a trigger for outbound traffic that might lead to potential Caltrans improvement for exiting traffic? And I bring this up particularly since it's a camp release on a Friday, be honest, I've really noticed it this year in particular, evenings and mornings, there's literally a string of vehicles now from Etna to Wairika headed one way or the other, depending on the time of the day. What would that trigger be for exiting vehicles?
Sure, so that would be based on intersection level of service, which we did calculate. For Caltrans, that would typically be level of service D, as in dog. However, for county general plan, would be level of service C. So level of service C is what we measured against. The intersection functions at B or better. In cumulative conditions, build out of the area, highest peak volumes. So we would not be approaching any trigger for additional lanes on South Kidder Creek approach.
Okay, so you're looking, when you're saying B, that would be the 10 to 15 and 10 to 20 per second on average? Average delay per vehicle in seconds? Is that what you're referring to when you're saying B, C, and D?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So there are table one?
B, correct. Yeah, 10 to 15. And if you look at the cumulative conditions along the service table, you'll see that the delays are all below 15 seconds.
Okay, so basically D would end up potentially resulting in some type of improvement?
Correct, by Caltrans standards.
Okay, all right. I wanted clarification on that. Thank you. Jump back over here. Commissioner Hart, you can jump in at any time. I've got lots of highlights and I'm scrolling through them all.
You want me to?
Go ahead. I'll jump to my next one. We can
all right,
go back
I
and forth.
I want to go back and address Mrs. Birch's comment letter here. I'm going to go back to what I said earlier here. The last sentence in the last paragraph before item A and her comment letter that came in today. I have it highlighted here. The FEIR, the final EIR response comments, also shed lights on the fact that the Kidder Creek project is inconsistent with federal habitat improvement plans along Kidder Creek.
You're on A?
Right before A.
Right before A.
The last, last sentence of the paragraph above A.
Okay, good.
Okay, she makes reference to these plans. Yet no plans have been presented today by anybody, period. We have a letter here from NOAA Fisheries that came in September 4th, 2019. Let me go down through here. It talks about coho and sonk, talking about effects of water temperature, flow volumes in that area. And it goes down here further, talks about Environmental Law Foundation versus, say, Water Resource Control Board, Superior Court Sacramento, issued a narrow ruling. The public trust doctrine applies to groundwater hydrology connected to navigable waters. Yet, we have their consultant, Kidder Creek Orchard Camp, back under our hearing back in August, that was that September, where you had made the statement that the groundwater there was not connected to Kidder Creek. Yes or no? I'm trying to narrow this down. There's a lot of finger pointing and accusations going, and nobody's backing anything up with actual documentation.
Yes.
Commissioner Hart, it's.
I'm sorry. Could I see your name again?
I'm sorry. Glenn Pearson.
Thank you.
20840 Live Oak Road, Red Bluff, California. When I use the term in the report, hydraulic connection, it's more of a hydrogeologic term. It because Kidder Creek is recharging the groundwater system. What happens is when you have, if this is the water level in the creek, and the water level in the groundwater basin is at the same level.
Right.
All right. Then, whenever you turn on the pumps, you're going to increase the gradient away from the creek.
Right.
Okay, you increase the groundwater recharge.
Mm-hmm.
All right. When you have a situation where they're not hydraulically connected, means that your groundwater table is just below the bed of the creek at some distance. So that it is only the percolation of the water through the creek bed, and that's a constant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can pump all you want out here, and you're not going to increase the rate of water that is leaving the creek. The creek, the water in the creek can only go as fast as it can percolate through the gravels. Right, and so that's what's a matter of hydraulically connected. Okay, now I don't know if that...
No, I know right where you're going here. And so, a year ago, DWR flew Scott Valley. This great big contraption hanging
underneath
the helicopter.
Yes.
Showing you profiles of the soil, how down, how far, 1,000 feet.
Except for the Kidder Creek fan.
What's that?
Except for the Kidder Creek fan, where it only went down 100 feet. Which I was glad to see, because that is what I had on my drawings.
Okay.
From my data collection.
So, and I'm getting at this water issue here.
Sure.
And under GS, the groundwater sustainability plans, it's my understanding that domestic wells are exempt. Period. We're talking about drilling one well here. Right now, how many parcels have you got on that property? On the whole combined property, how many parcels do you have? Legal parcels.
Nine, maybe? There's
nine or ten.
Nine or ten parcels is what he's saying.
Okay. Yep. So you can put right now, legally, and nobody can stop you from doing it, you can put down nine individual domestic wells, period. There is an agency one that can stop you from doing that, am I correct? So the argument that's being thrown out here about, and then actually there was a comment that came from an individual in Scott Valley that if we approve this, the county and the planning commission are going to be guilty of a take. I don't see any evidence to back that up at this point. I'm trying to wrap it all into one thing here, where I look at all these demands from NOAA Fisheries. I'm going to go back here on this same letter dated September 4th, 2019. They make four requests here.